Well, any of you who are my age, and that's most of you here, or maybe a little bit older, maybe a little younger, you might remember in the 1960s those great shows like Get Smart, who had the first cell phone, if you remember. It was on his foot. And then in the 70s, there was that show called Mission Impossible, where the team would be given a mission that seemed to be impossible. They would hear it described on a cassette tape, and then they would say, and if you choose to accept this mission, something like, all the best to you, and this tape will self-destruct in 20 seconds, and then it would burn up. More recently, Tom Cruise, I think, starred in a couple of movies by that same title, real thrillers. I think I saw the first one. I can't remember anything of the content other than there were really, really lots of car chases and lots of things blowing up. Now, why do I begin by reference to things like Get Smart and Mission Impossible? Well, today we have the first installment of Mission Impossible. In today's gospel, as you hear this, you think, this is Mission Impossible. How is it possible that what Jesus speaks of here is going to be fulfilled? So let's listen again to the last part of our Lord's high priestly prayer. And just a couple of words to give orientation and context. Repeatedly, Jesus will refer to the world. Now, part of what I do as a priest is I read what are called the Office of Readings. And right today, we were reading the last part of 1 John chapter 5. So that's the first letter of St. John. And in the third to last verse of 1 John chapter 5, we have this verse. The world is under the domain of the devil. The world is under the domain of the devil. And yet Jesus prays particularly for the world in this part of his high priestly prayer. Remember yesterday I said that the word diabolical means to throw himself across God's plan and purpose, to get in the way, to be an intruder, to be a spoke, something in the spoke that kind of causes the wheel to collapse. As you can see, I don't have a text. I'm just making this up as I go. Holy Spirit, help me. But here's the thing that we want to see. Jesus is not perturbed or dissuaded by the reality of the one who throws himself across his path. What does he pray? He says, Father, I'm not only praying on behalf of these, that is the apostles who gathered around him, I'm now praying on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. We have come to believe through the proclamation and the witness of the apostles. That's encouraging. Because, of course, this prayer was prayed on Holy Thursday, and about an hour from then, 10 of the apostles would completely disperse and run away from our Lord. One, of course, had denied him. And the only one who would be at the foot of the cross on Good Friday was St. John, the writer of this gospel. And yet, Jesus is so confident that he says, I know that through the apostles, there are going to be those at St. Peter's Calgary in 2023 who are going to believe in me because of the witness of the apostles. That's us. We are, in part, the first expression of the fulfillment of Mission Impossible. But listen to what Jesus goes on to say next. That through us, those who have now come to believe, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, that the church may be one. Now listen to the progression here. The unity of the church will first of all allow the unbelieving world that's under the domain of the devil to come to believe that Jesus was sent by the Father. Remember what the word sent means? It's the word apostle. So Jesus was sent as the apostle into the world, and that the world will first of all believe that this is true. Now listen to what he goes on to say. I in them, again, he's talking to us now, right, as believers. I in them and you and me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me. Do you see the progression? It moves from believing, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, that he was sent from God, don't really know what it means for my life, but from believing to knowing. And of course, the word used here for knowing is the word that is used for sexual intercourse. It's that kind of knowing that people will come to an intimate relationship with Jesus. Who? Those who are under the domain of the devil. That's mission impossible. This is the mission of the church. And as Jesus then goes on to say, the way in which this will happen is as those who believe in me will desire to be with me. And that's why, again, we always come to Mass, right? Because this is where we are in the most special way with Jesus. But then what happens? We're all sent back out into the world that's antagonistic, suspicious of, or outright derisive towards the church and the gospel. But how will the world come to know? By the unity of the church. Now, we still have a long way to go, baby, but we have come a very long way. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in London, England, and one of the reasons I was in London was to attend a leadership conference where there were over 5,000 Christian leaders from around the world, all concerned with one question. How do we seek to be more united in our witness so that the world may come to believe in Jesus? And at the heart of this conference was our consideration of a course called the Alpha Course, which we will begin offering here at St. Peter's in September of 2023. One of the visions of Alpha International is that by the year 2033, which will be the 2000th anniversary of the birth of the church, the hope is that Alpha will be available in every language in the world. And this is a corporate effort of the church, and thereby a means by which people can first of all come to believe, and then we would pray, come to know that Jesus is the Son of God. And the beautiful thing is that the Catholic Church has a central role to play in this initiative. Back in February of this year, Christian leaders were invited to the Vatican to prayerfully consider how over the next 10 years we so mobilize the church so that by 2033, everyone in the world will have had the opportunity to at least hear the gospel. So that's unity. Is it perfect unity? Perfect unity is when the church comes fully under Peter and comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Will that happen in our lifetime? Who knows? But what we can celebrate and affirm is that the Holy Spirit is doing something in the church today where he's giving us the tape. Well, actually, it's not on a tape any longer. It's digital. But he's saying, this is your mission. And if you choose to accept it, I'm not going to self-destruct, or this message isn't going to self-destruct in 10 seconds. No, I'm going to be with my church to guide, direct, to lead, to bring it to this fulfillment. So let me conclude by praying again the last part of the prayer. This is words for today. Listen to this, Jesus speaking into our world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. That's us, that we do know that Jesus has been sent by the Father. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. And out of that love, we're called to be sent into this world, in our generation, so people will come to believe in Jesus and come to know Jesus. And thereby we'll say, wow, it's not mission impossible. It's mission possible. Because, as we hear in the Gospel of Luke, with God, all things are possible.